So this week, we are going to continue our series in James. It's kind of like a big deal because it's the last week that we'll be looking at James. It's been quite a fun series, hasn't it? Can you guys, I usually give like a rundown and do a review of everything that we've covered, but I want to see, I want to see if you guys can do it. So what did we talk about week one? Alexis wasn't here, so she's off the hook. Okay, all right. Week one was smashing. Does that help anybody? Yep. Emily knows now. Yep. Yeah, we talked about listening to God and His Word rather than listening to the messages of the world. Who remembers week two, chapter two? Did anybody, let me ask this, did anybody follow along and read their Bible as we were doing this? Emily did. There's huge hints in the Bible of what we talked about. Don't go there. Don't look there now, though. So week two, we talked about how God doesn't have favorites and how we shouldn't either. Anybody remember week three? James 3, Jess? This would have been 2 weeks ago. Okay. We talked about the power of our words and how we are to use our words to build people up instead of tearing them down. And then, this is you guys should remember this. Does anybody remember what we talked about last week? What? The babies, yep. Yeah, we talked about how to draw close to the Lord by being humble. And that's what we talked about last week. So this week, we're going to talk about patience. Patience. Kind of a fun topic. So let's read. Let's read first. If you have your Bible, go ahead and turn to James chapter 5. Chapter 5. All right. You can follow along. James chapter 5, verse 7. It says, "Dear brothers and sisters..." It actually says that like five times, dear brothers and sisters. So, brothers and sisters, listen up. "Be patient as you wait for the Lord's return. Consider the farmers who patiently wait for the rains in the fall and in the spring. They eagerly look for the valuable harvest to ripen. Verse 8, "You too must be patient. Take courage, for the coming of the Lord is near. Don't grumble about each other, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. For look, the judge is standing at the door." Verse 10. "For examples of patience in suffering, dear brothers and sisters, look at the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. We give great honor to those who are enduring under suffering. For instance, you know about Job, a man of great endurance. You can see how the Lord was kind to him at the end. For the Lord is full of tenderness and mercy." Verse 12, kind of randomly thrown in here, but "make most of all, my brothers and sisters, never take an oath by heaven or earth or anything else. Say a simple yes or a no, so that you will not sin and be condemned." Let's pray, and then we'll jump right in. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your many blessings, God, and we also thank you for the times of suffering and the times where we are learning how to be patient. And your name we pray. Amen. So I was thinking about this whole lesson in patience, and it's kind of appropriate because lately I have been trying to teach my two-year-old son, 2 and a half, how to be patient. And I'll be honest, sometimes I think it's more of a lesson for me than for Joel. But the other day, he really likes watching trucks on the iPad. Loves it. like really has to watch Trucks. I can't even get my iPad out without him running over, grabbing it, and wanting to watch Trucks. The problem is we can't just watch Trucks all the time. So I have to like tell him, no, Joel, we have to wait. You can't watch Trucks right now. And the other day, like it got pretty bad. Like he was like crying and like throwing a tantrum, all because he can't watch Trucks. And I'm like, I put on like this awesome like inspired, inspirational story. And I kind of sat him down on my knee and I was like, Joel, listen, I was like, this whole thing is like a lesson in patience. I was like, okay, you like pizza, right? And he's like, yep. Like, okay, you can't take the pizza and eat it before it's cooked, right? He's like, yep. And I was like, you can't even, like, if you get the pizza out too early, it's not going to be done and it won't be good. You have to practice patience. And this whole thing of patience is really a learning experience for him. He doesn't want or know how yet to be patient. Just last night when we sat down for dinner, I couldn't be patient, so I had to grab some crackers and cheese because dinner was taking a little bit longer. Not that it was Grace's fault, but it was taking a little bit longer than my stomach could handle. So I grabbed a cracker and cheese, and I started eating it. And he saw that I was eating a cracker, and I said, here, Joel, do you want a cracker? And he did not want the cracker that I had. He wanted an animal cracker. And so he is yelling about getting an animal cracker, I'm trying to tell him, no, bud, you have to eat this cracker. You can't have a different cracker. This is the only cracker that you're going to have. He is like, wah! Other cracker! And he starts screaming and stuff. Like, I looked at Grace. I was like, we just have to kind of ignore him. Like, if you ignore him, the silence kind of comes, but it doesn't. And so he's screaming, and I'm like, Joel, you can have a cracker, because finally he realized, wait, these crackers are good. So I was like, you can have one, but you have to say yes, or you have to say please first. Yes. You have to say please first. You can't have a cracker unless you say please. So then starts crying again because he can't say please. So he finally says please. I hand him the cracker. After a long time, another lesson in patience. Like, buddy, you have to wait. You have to wait. You have to be patient. You will get the cracker. Just be patient. And so then the dinner progresses. I'm just kind of giving you guys a snapshot of what happens in my house. For dinner, we had peas and we had chicken and we had rice. And he drank his entire milk before dinner even got to his plate. And then he had thrown it on the ground. He'd thrown his cup on the ground. And which nobody else can do in our house. So I learned that. Not a good idea to throw your cup on the ground. I'm just kidding. I didn't learn that. No, not a good idea. So he throws his cup on the ground. He's eating his peas and his rice. And all of a sudden, he realizes he wants more milk. And I was like, he's still got a ton of food left on his plate. So again, patience. Joel's learning. Joel, you have to wait. You can't have milk yet. You need to finish more of your food before you can have milk. Otherwise, he'll scarf the milk down again and nothing will get eaten. So, takes his time. I take my time. Like I said, this is a little bit more of a lesson in patience for me. Both of us, we're both learning patience. And he gets his milk after he's eaten more of his dinner. And I don't know if you've realized this, but like he does really have a problem with patience. And he's so young and he's learning that things don't happen like this. That sometimes there is a period of suffering or a period where he needs to be patient and wait. You can't have everything right away when we want it. See, he cries and he throws fits when he doesn't get what he wants when he wants. And he's two. If he never learns this lesson, can you imagine what he's going to be like when he's 20? If all of this time where he is learning how to be patient, not getting what he wants right when he needs it, or when he wants it, not when he needs it, if he never learns how to be patient, he is going to be some ridiculously awkward college student. Because he is going to be standing in line for food, and he's going to be throwing tantrums. Like, people are going to walk away. They're not going to want to be his friend. No! Give me my cheeseburger now! Like, that would be kind of ridiculous. Kind of ridiculous. But the truth is, we all, no matter what stage of life we are in, we have to learn almost over and over again this whole idea of being patient, of waiting. And I started to think about, okay, in our culture, in our society, we really, really can't stand the idea of having to be patient for anything. Like, we do not like it. We have cell phones, and when they first came out, they barely had the internet on them. And I'm even skipping, like, the whole generation of the modem and stuff on the computer. Never mind. We had cell phones that had the internet, and that was crazy, it was cool. And now they've got 3G, and now they've got 4G, and 4G, LIT, no, whatever. Everything, they're going to change it again, don't worry, it's going to get faster. Like, everything in our society is built on speed and immediate gratification. Our food, you know, the whole idea of like sitting down and waiting for our food. How many other people in there? You just can't stand it if the waitress is like taking longer than you think. Yeah, it's like, come on, bring out the food. The worst is when you're like the only other people in the restaurant. Or waiting in lines. Waiting in lines can be quite a hassle. You know, I haven't done this yet, but I've heard, you know, when you call, like, for tech support, like, I've got to call my student loan person. And college students, here's a lesson for you. Student loan time is coming. It's not fun. Get it done earlier. But they have this thing now where when you need to talk with somebody, like over customer service, they will actually call you. Like, you can put your name on this list. They'll call you so that you don't have to wait on the phone. Because our society, because the way we are, we hate waiting. We hate being patient. And I began to think, okay, what's our justification? Because there's some things that we'll wait for. You know, like, we really, for the most part, we don't get up at a restaurant that hasn't served us. We won't get up and walk away and not eat our food, right? Sometimes it'll be colder, but we won't get up, we won't walk away. You know, people wait in lines for an incredibly long time for different things. You know, Black Friday comes out, and people are waiting in line forever. When the Buffalo Wild Wings opened up, some people waited in line. It opened up Monday morning. Some people were there at noon on Sunday waiting for it to open up because you got a ticket for free wings for a year. Free wings for a year. I myself was one of those people who waited in line. It was only 7 o'clock Monday morning, but waited in line to receive the prize because it was worth it. The process that we go through to decide whether something is worth it or not is this. I think we ask ourselves this question. Does the end justify the means? Does what we're waiting for, is that really worth going through all of this trouble? Going through all of the time waiting? When we could be doing other things? Does the end justify the means? See, and as I began to think about that process, or that process that we go through, it is a little bit challenging to bring that over into our spiritual life. You know, because God, He is the only one who knows our future. The only one. He's the only one that knows if the things that were hard last year will be easy this year, or the things that were easy last year will be hard next year. And And he, I believe that he sets each and every one of us up on this course to follow him. And it is worth it. The end does justify the means. That's why it's important that we practice this whole thing of patience. The book of James, it is one of my favorite books in the Bible. And the passage that we read today, it's kind of cool. If you look back, James 1, it's my first time trying this, so. James 1, 4. It says that this whole idea of, it says, perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything. And one of the commentators that I was reading as I was preparing for this was saying that that whole idea of being mature and complete is something that James kind of carries through his entire letter, the entire book. And he says that we are to be mature and complete. Today we're looking at patience. Last week we looked at humbleness. The week before that we looked at our words. We looked at the way we view people. And we looked at our foundation. All so that we can be mature and complete followers of Jesus. And it's interesting, we didn't focus so much on this in chapter 1 of James, but the first section of James is all about faith and endurance through suffering. Faith and endurance through suffering. And then today, as we read, the whole idea of patience and endurance during suffering. James was, he bookended the book with this whole idea that in this Christian life, that there will be times where we suffer. But it'll be worth it. We're going to get to that in a second. So there's two types of lessons of patience that are happening, that are taking place right here in James. The first is this, again, that we will be people who practice patience, who are mature and complete followers of Jesus. The second part is the reality of the hope that we have of Christ's return. That's kind of like the big one. The hope that we have that Jesus is coming back. So, I figured we'll start and we'll go verse by verse, kind of go back through this. Starting in verse 7, it says, "Dear brothers and sisters, be patient as you wait for the Lord's return. Consider the farmers who wait patiently for the rains to fall in the spring and eagerly look for the valuable harvest." We have to learn to be patient. And how we do that, one of the commentators that I read, he said that it's a really good practice. It's a really good thing to do. If you really want to learn how to be patient, just take some time and just kind of meditate on the whole idea of Christ's return. Just kind of let that be everything you think about for a couple minutes. Just let that sink in, that the Lord is coming back. That he is returning. Verse 8 says, "You too must be patient. Take courage, for the coming of the Lord is near." Verse 9, "Don't grumble about each other, brothers and sisters." I think this one's huge. "Don't grumble about each other, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. For look, the judge is standing at the door." This week, I was able to spend a week down at family camp. And I was sitting with Grace. We had to actually have a date, which was cool. We had some coffee together. And while we were there, there was a soccer camp going on. So there's a whole bunch of students that are kind of gathered around in this coffee shop. And this group who a couple of them actually had been with us for Love Buffalo, I could overhear their conversation. And I'll be honest, it kind of broke my heart because I was listening to their conversation and they started talking about this girl who's also in their youth group, who supposedly is one of their friends. And they started talking bad about her and then talking about how they hate her. And then they were trying to make excuses and say, no, there's other people named this person, so we're not talking about them. And it just bothered me so much. Because here is this brothers and sisters. Here are these supposed brothers and sisters in the Lord. And they're sitting down in this coffee shop talking bad about one of their brothers and sisters in Christ. It was such a bummer to hear that conversation. And I imagine that conversation happens not just with their youth group. I'm sure that it happens with us, and it scares me. Don't grumble about each other, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. For look, the judge is standing at the door. You know, it's important for each and every one of us to remember that we will all go through times of suffering, that we will all go through things that challenge our faith. You know, whether it be divorce or whether it be brokenness or failed dreams, whether we have some sort of medical thing or troubles in school, troubles at home, or just an overwhelming sense of insecurity. We can't grumble against each other and about each other. We need to support each other and love each other. We must be careful not to allow the pressures, the things that we go through, to infect us with a readiness to criticize. It's me? Okay. With a readiness to criticize and blame others. I don't know what it is. Let's all practice patience together. What? Behind my ear. I think that's it. Better? 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 Check one. Check. Check. I think we're good. I think we're good. So, continuing on. Verse 10. Be examples of patience in suffering. So, this passage, James is trying to tell us that we as believers, that we should be an example of what life looks like when you go through suffering, because we have this hope in Jesus and we have this mature and complete faith that rests solely on the Lord. That we are to be examples of patience in suffering. Dear brothers and sisters, look at the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Verse 11, we give great honor to those who endure suffering. For instance, you know about Job, a man of great endurance. You can see how the Lord was kind to him at the end, for the Lord is full of tenderness and mercy. This whole idea of patience is not a new thing. And I encourage you to find somebody who's a lot older than you and kind of watch their life. You know, as I began thinking about this and thinking about where I am at in life, I really started thinking, you know, I want to find somebody that's really old and I just want to get to know them. And I want to, I mean, not just somebody who's just old, but I want to find somebody who has, like, been following Jesus for a really long time. And I just want to listen to them. I want to hear their story. I want to find out how they have followed Jesus for such a long time. I want to watch their life, and I want to kind of model the same things that they're doing. I want to learn from them because they They have a faith that is more mature and more complete than mine because of how long they've been following the Lord. It's cool. Verse 11 talks about Job. You know, you can look back through Scripture. It's crazy. The people who went through the most suffering, they are people who have great, great honor because of the things that they go through, that they went through. And there's this whole pattern of suffering. This whole pattern, it goes something like this. You have a time of suffering, a time of perseverance, and then a time of blessing. And so many of us, we want that blessing. That's what we want. We just want the blessing. We don't want to have to go through the suffering. We don't want to have to persevere through anything. We just want the blessing. And that is such a dangerous place to be because all throughout Scripture, we can see how the pattern is this. Kind of suffer a little bit, persevere, and then be blessed. Not saying that it works that way in every single situation. Sometimes God showers us with his grace and his mercy, and we receive a blessing. But normally it comes through a time of suffering and perseverance. You know, I hope that, I kind of wrote this kind of tongue-in-cheek. I hope that this message is encouraging for you, that if you really want to receive the Lord's blessing, if you really want to follow after him, if you really want to learn how to be patient, it's going to come through suffering. It's going to come through times of testing and persevering. But our suffering and our perseverance is not meaningless. God is using it to make you mature and complete in your faith. And I just want to say this as I begin to wrap up. There is a danger here, and I want to be very clear, because I realize I'm talking to students. This whole idea of enduring through suffering and enduring through pain, there are some things where it's not okay to endure, and it's not okay to just suffer through and just continue on. And thinking that God has placed this burden upon you. If it's illegal, that's not okay. If someone is doing something to you that you know they shouldn't, that's not like you're okay, I'm gonna put on my James 5 and endure through this suffering. That's not how it goes. Embrace the patience, embrace the suffering, unless it's illegal. Then it's wrong. And the Lord, you need to tell somebody. So, just felt like I had to say that. There is a danger here. There's a very strong danger. If we don't learn how to be patient, because like I said, everything in our culture, everything around us tells us to run from patience. Tells us to run from it. You know, reading your Bible, I just had somebody tell me last night that they read their Bible, but they don't get much out of it. Well, keep reading. Keep reading. It'll come. Fighting sin, resisting sin, keep going. Keep resisting. The struggle with our words, saying things that build people up, it takes practice. Be patient. Spending time drawing close to the Lord, it's hard to make that time. But if you really want to draw close to the Lord, you have to find that time to get alone with him, to draw close to him. Humbling ourselves before the Lord is something that takes time. It's something that isn't normal. But it's required. We have to endure through a little bit of suffering as we learn patience and bring those things into our lives so that we can be mature and complete in our faith. It sounds It sounds kind of crazy. But the reason that I want to find some really old person who's been following Jesus for a really long time is because I've seen how they react when stuff shakes them. I've seen how they can stand up in the storm. And I've seen the other side where I've got my 2-year-old son who anytime something doesn't go his way, he freaks out and flips out. And I think that that is a great image for us. If we can grab hold of that, the mature and complete faith that James is talking about here comes through suffering. It comes through perseverance. Does the end justify the means? Yes. Yes, it does. It is so worth it to follow the Lord. Not just in your moments of middle school and high school, but all the way through your entire life. You know, it talks about the Lord's returning, and in other passages it talks about heaven. And, you know, those things are, like we talked about, those things are great. But being able to go through this life with a mature and complete faith solely on the Lord, be able to stand up under anything, all the hardships that come our way, the end justifies the means. I'm going to invite the band to come on up. As I do, I just want to read this this passage. This comes from Philippians 4, 11 through 13. And I thought that this passage just kind of brings it all together. This is Paul talking, and he's sharing how he has come to live. It says this: "Not that I was ever in need, for I learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret to living in every situation, whether it is a full stomach or an empty, with plenty or a little. For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength." Let's pray. We thank you, God, for your word. God, we thank you for this challenge today, this message. Lord, to practice patience. Lord, waiting on you is not something that is common to our culture. Waiting on anything, God. But Lord, you are so worth every moment spent waiting for. God, I pray that you would give us strength to endure through suffering and perseverance so that we may experience your blessing. God, you are so tender and you are so merciful towards us. God, help us to remember that as we go through things that challenge us. Through situations in school and broken friendships and broken dreams. Lord, help us to be people who are reliant on you for everything. In your name we pray. Amen.